WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
A Writer's America is a new book of criticism by Alfred Kazin that explores the relationship between some of our country's great writers and the landscapes that inspired them. Thoreau and Walden Pond, Willa Cather and Nebraska and the Southwest, Faulkner and Mississippi. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
Alfred Kazin's A Writer's America, nicely illustrated by the likes of Audubon and Remington, Thomas Benton and Walker Evans, is a coffee table dream book, a marvelous meditation on the way we have imagined ourselves in the great spaces of our nation, the primeval garden now despoiled. Kazin's great gift as a critic is that he carries all of our literature around in his head. He wears it like a second skin. Through him, it speaks in tongues. There's something shamanistic about his experience of Melville, Whitman, and Faulkner, of the competing Gothic imaginations of the Nathaniels, Hawthorne, and West, of the separate solitudes and desolations of a Willa Cather and a Hart Crane. In On Native Ground, Bright Book of Life, and An American Procession, these and many other writers, prophetic and profane, talk to us through Kazin as if they possessed him. It's not just his genius for quotation. Like Isaiah Berlin in his famous essays on Tolstoy and Herzen, Kazin seems to transform himself into whomever he quotes, to take on in his own prose the urgencies and ambitions, the rhythm section and the shock effects of the masters. Inhabiting the mind of Henry James, for example, Kazin is Baroque. Inside Stephen Crane, he is short, bitter, and ironic. In the company of Emily Dickinson, he's haunted by God. This isn't to say that he can't speak in his own voice. He has done so remarkably in his three autobiographies, starting out in the 30s, A Walker in the City, and New York Jew. It's just that he doesn't compete with the writers he reviews. Like a radio telescope, he pulls down their gravity from the distant stars. In fact, my only real gripe about A Writer's America is that he doesn't use himself enough, especially on cities. He's fine when he lets other writers think about mountains, prairies, and oceans, about our literary ideas of nature and the frontier as teacher and enchantment and deliverance, as epic poem and absolute freedom and substitute religion, as peaceable kingdom or vacancy and destructiveness. But when he turns to the man-made landscapes of our imperial cities, he'd be more compelling if only he quoted himself. He's as good as or better than anybody else who's ever written of New York City. I also wish he'd spent more time down south and looked at the American Southwest through the eyes of, say, Tony Hillerman, and gone on the road with some of the beats. But these are quibbles. There's more than enough room in Kazin's eclecticism for California and Chicago, for Frederick Law Olmsted and Henry George, for Teddy Roosevelt and Lewis and Clark. He gets just one thing wrong. It wasn't the wife in Robert Frost's The Death of the Hired Man who agreed that, quote, home is the place where, when you have to go there, they have to take you in. On the contrary, the wife in that poem had another notion of home. Quote, I should have called it something you somehow hadn't to deserve. As Frost himself has pointed out, this is the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Anyway, Alfred Kazin is at home and generously invites us in.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine, and as a columnist for New York Newsday, he reviewed A Writer's America by Alfred Kazin.